Acts chapter 2, starting at verse, let's start at verse number 36. It says, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Then Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who were far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe as the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. In Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse number 11. "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. If any of you go shopping on a regular basis, you might be growing tired of being asked, "Are you a rewards member? Where's your shopper's card? Or do you have a member's card? Would you like me to look up your membership information?" That's usually me, because y'all know I forget everything, right? How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of y'all got a wallet full of cards? How many of y'all got a key ring full of little mini cards, right? Sometimes I just want to get my corn on the cob and I want to go. I don't feel like sifting through cards to get the right card. Well, then sometimes it's worth it, right? Because if I need my card to get, you know, 12 ears of corn for $2, then I'll search for that card because I like a good deal. I could pay the regular price for the ears of corn, but there's some privileges, I guess, or some benefits of being a member, or being a Kroger Rewards member, or having members perks at Myers, or having a card to Big Lots, or being a member of Sam's, or Costco. I mean, is there any store that you don't need a card now, right? You know, grocery and retail stores are constantly trying to get us to sign up to be a member. And do you know what their important selling points to get us to sign up? They'll always say this, you know, "Are you a member?" If you say no, they'll say, "It's free to sign up," right? Costs no money. We like free things, don't we, right? And what's the second one? "It takes little to no time to sign up. All I need is your email address. So all I need is this." So no money and no time. And that's their selling points to get us to be a member of that store or get that member's rewards card. In many ways, signing up for a member card is indicative of the culture shift in our world. We want things free, and we want things without giving a lot of effort. Now, file that away for just a second as we consider some other things this morning. Pew Research is a premier nonpartisan fact tank that informs the public about issues in America and in the world. A month or so ago, Pew Research reported their findings regarding the religious landscape in America. In short, what they found is that across the board, there is a decreasing number of folks who would describe themselves as being affiliated or members of a church. Now, this isn't rocket science. This really isn't a revolutionary finding. I mean, we've known this for years. Studies over the past 20 or 30 years have given us that information. But in short, what they found is that people, when asked what's your religious affiliation, if there's a box on the survey or during a phone call, people are growing in number. The number of people who respond with none, no one. We're not affiliated with anyone. And so they've created a new category, the nuns, not the N-U-N-S, hairdress people, the people who say, I want nothing to do with church. They're called the nuns. We've known this, again, for years. But in the past 7 to 8 years, the decline has been sharp, and people are paying attention. Within American Christianity, the landscape of American Christianity, some churches are doing better than others, but there is a definite uptick in the number of people, again, who are nuns. If you want more information on this, just go to Google and Google Pew Research and the landscape of American Christianity. Now, couple that with the blessing that we're experiencing in this church on numerous occasions, where people who may come and visit with us for several weeks, and maybe they're liking or digging what's going on here, man. They can say, man, that dude up there, man, he's got some big lips, but I really like what he's got to say, right? And they begin to ask questions like, how do I become a member of this church? Now that's a pretty dangerous question. It's a dangerous question because depending on who they ask, they're going to get different answers. Some people might say, well, at the end of the service when we start singing the slow song and everyone's standing up and it looks like we're singing We Are the World, just come forward and say I want to be a member. Or some people might say, just keep coming. I think you're a member anyway. There's people who've gone here for years that have never come up front and said, I want to be a member, but we've considered them members. For others, it may be, hey, if you're not a Christian, you need to become a Christian, and then that will make you a member of the church. That's how it was in the church that I grew up in. So that question is asked, and sometimes we get different answers. Now, in addition to that, there are people who are members, who've been members for years, and they simply want to know, what does it mean to be a member? Are there expectations? Are there things that we need? Are there covenants? Are there agreements? Like what are the requirements of this membership? And these questions aren't asked again by those who have recently become members, but even from those who've been members for years. I suspect that when it comes to our marriage relationships, we are less likely to be in a complete dark about what it means to be a member of the marriage relationship. It's not that we don't need reminding or refreshing from time to time, but those of you who have been married for, let's say, 20 or more years probably have a decent idea about the requirements for the marriage relationship. Now those who do not or are not well versed in the requirements of marriage, well, we know how that goes, don't we? All we need to do is look at the divorce rate If marriages are ending because there is a lack of understanding about what it means to be a part of the marriage relationship, are we headed in the same direction in terms of those who are members of this church but doesn't know what that means? Church, these are important questions, and I think we need to answer them. We need to be unified in answering these questions. You can't receive one answer from me and a different answer from Justin and another answer from Bill Johnson or Schindel or Reynolds or Raper. We need to make part of our membership, you know, class. You need to write a report on all the bills, right? A few months ago, we distributed this book called I Am a Church Member by Tom Rainer. If you have not received a copy of this book, if your family has not received a copy of this book, please let us know and we will get your family a copy of this book. It's a short book. It's a compelling book. There are thoughts and ideas in this book that we would like to make a part of our church. But I have to be honest, we may have been too hasty in giving that book out. Now, don't get me wrong. It's a good book. It really makes you think. But this book assumes that we, the reader, knows what they're becoming a member of. In other words, it starts with the assumption that if a reader is a member or looking to become a member, they clearly know the organization or culture in which they are becoming a member. You know, I often wonder if the people on the day of Pentecost fully knew what they were doing. I wonder if they knew what they were becoming a part of. I wonder if they had orientation classes about membership. I'm not sure, but I know this, and this is just clearly shown to us as we read and reflect on the text, that on one day, 3,000 people became a part of a movement. Over 3,000 people were convinced of the truths regarding the work of God through Jesus Christ. I hope you notice that Peter in his sermon in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36 says that God has made this Jesus both Lord and Messiah. And it says when they heard that, they were cut to the heart. And then they asked, what shall we do? They were convinced from that great truth about Jesus Christ that they wanted or they were going to be a part of a movement. Over 3,000 people were convinced of those truths. And if they didn't fully know at the moment, they would become convinced, because that story, that narrative, that summary statement at the end of Acts chapter 2 wasn't just about that one day. If they didn't fully know at that moment, they would become convinced. You see, they spent time together. Day after day, they spent time together praying and learning and loving and eating with one another. They were launched into the movement of God. This movement would be activated to be a vehicle for the redemption of this world. And the day the Lord added, it says that day that the Lord added to that movement, about 3,000 people, but it was sustained day by day as God was adding to that movement on a daily basis. And I guarantee you that those who stood in line said, I don't know what we're doing. I don't know. They might be getting off free hot dogs or something. Well, they were Jews, so they're getting off free hamburgers. And they were standing in line and they got baptized. And maybe they weren't fully convinced on that day. But day by day, as they spent time together, as they spent time praying, as they spent time fellowshipping, as they spent time eating with each other, as they spent time sitting down and hearing the teaching from the apostles, they begin to understand that they were part of a movement. Now, it would grow from there. Thousands of others would become a part of this movement. there were Jews. There were non-Jews who became a part of this movement. It was not a surprise or a suspended movement, meaning it didn't take place just in the first century. And in those days, thousands of years of later, others would become a part of this movement on the continent of Africa and on Asia and in Europe. And people would become a part of this movement. And in North America and South America, people would become a part of this movement. In the 21st century, people are becoming a part of this movement. And I suspect that the reason that some of you are in here today is because this movement has had some impact in your life in some way. So why are we talking about movements? Because before we can talk about membership, becoming a member, or what it means to be a member, we need to know what we're becoming a member of. And that, in the context of membership, this is not simply becoming a member of a shopping club or a discount club or a country club or a special interest club or a Jelly of the Month club or the Mickey Mouse club or Boy George in a culture club. Some of y'all don't even know who Boy George is, do you? You and I need to know that God is calling us to become a part. And if you want to use the word member, He's calling us to become a member of a movement. And before we can answer questions about membership, we need to declare our participation in a movement. Before we can participate in a movement, we need to know what movement. From the dawn of creation, people have been attracted to movements. At the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11, people from all over the world were participating in a movement. In the days of Exodus, people were participating in a movement. In the days of Joshua and the conquest of the Promised Land, people were participating in a movement. In the day of Ezra and Nehemiah, people, as they rebuilt the temple and rebuilt the walls, were a part of a movement. In the days of the 12 apostles, people were a part of a movement. On the day of Pentecost, people became a part of a movement. This is, church, the movement of God. This is a movement of renewal, of redemption, and reconciliation. Yes, creation has been corrupted, but there is a movement of God to renew His creation, to redeem mankind, and to reconcile brothers and sisters all over this planet. This is a movement. It's the movement of God. Before we can answer the question of the declining membership or how to become a member or what does it mean to be a member, let's first declare that as a church, we are a part of the movement of God. That's what I experienced last week in Dayton, Ohio. Took a class called the Missional Church. It's part of my degree requirement, and I selected the class knowing that I would learn some things. I read a lot on the Missional Church and some of the authors and pioneer of the Missional Church movement. And I took this class as a way to, I'm just be honest with you, church, I gotta knock off some credits. So here was a way I could knock off 3 credits in a week. I knew I'd learn something, you know, but God had other plans. The teacher was Mike Slaughter, who in 1979 came to a small country church. And church, it's a small country church on a road going 40 miles an hour that I should have known only go 40 because I was going 50 and I got pulled over. But I only got a warning, though. Only got a warning. But Sarah, you correct me if I'm wrong. He came there. There was about 90 people at this small country church. And this brother decided to spend a year in the book of Acts and began to talk about the movement of God and a movement indeed. And that first year, they grew to 50 people. Yeah, you'll catch it later on. Yeah. They grew to 50 people. But over time, we're talking about one of the largest churches in Ohio. And let me tell you this. He didn't spend a lot of time talking about how big they were. That was something that was bore out from questions. So I want you to know that they're not standing on, oh, man, we're this big. But hey, facts are facts. Here's a church that touches close to 3,500 people every weekend. But here's a church that is so vested in community, so vested in helping and feeding the poor, clothing the poor, so activated in helping those with medical needs, so activated in having nonprofits run out of their church for counseling, Ron, for food, for addicts. They decided a long time ago, when they were 90 members, that the size of their church would not stop them from becoming a part of the movement of God. And they are literally, let me say that again, they are literally changing the world. Not just in Dayton, but all over Ohio, all over this country. And right now, and I wish I could show you the video footage, they are doing amazing work in Sudan, in Darfur, South Sudan, investing millions and millions of dollars, millions and millions of minutes and seconds in the work of God in that movement. And one of the things that just kept coming out to me as we spent time listening to that story that started at this small country church is that they were not too small to believe in a big God who could do big, big, big things as a part of the movement of God. Now, church, while I listened and witnessed and experienced with my own hands the story of God at the Ginghamsburg Church in Tipp City, Ohio, I couldn't help but think about our church. I couldn't help but think about how our church has dipped our toe into the movement. You know how that is. When the water's cold, you wanna get in, but you wanna test it, right? And you put your toe in to see how. Then you might put your foot in, and sometimes it's just too cold, and all you do is just dangle your feet in the water because we're afraid to go all in. How many people know what I'm talking about? You don't want to go all in. You just want to dip your toe. And I started thinking about our church, and I started thinking about how we've dipped our toe in this movement, and that we are seriously, really on the brink of changing this world. You know, it was just in 2007 that God gave Wendy Brown a revelation about feeding children during the summer, because without free or reduced lunch during the school year, they were not going to eat during the summer. They were going to experience hunger. Yes, this is right here in Reynoldsburg. And because of that, a dream was birthed, and that led to our very first community of care meal in this room. And since 2007, we have personally interacted with 600 different families, over 1,600 individuals. This from a church with an average Sunday attendance of roughly 140 to 170 people a week. In 2005, when Adam and Mary Beth Metz and Nathan Houghton and I met together to discuss a way to get our teens out of their local context into the context of those who are poor and need help with their property, we birthed this idea that we would have a camp. A camp for a week where we'd get together and do some things in a community. In the summer of 2005, we went to Delaware, Ohio. We painted one house. Well, we painted the trim of another house, and we did yard work for two or three other properties. We had a total of 19 people. That was 2005. In our 11th year, we are preparing to paint 9 homes all over the Columbus, Ohio area, and there are over 100 teens and adults involved. This effort cost close to $18,000, and this church funds between 60 and 70% of the effort. We have invested thousands of dollars in Guyana. One of the most beautiful visuals is the building of a pipeline. That the source is clean water, and they built this pipeline under this dirty lake, and it created a place where people on the other side of this dirty lake, where people can actually come to this church building. This church building that has been impacted and influenced by folks here. Some of you have been there. Some of you have been in that dirty lake, and you've repaired the pipe, and you helped Greg build that pipe. You got your hands dirty in that dirty water to bring clean water to a village. It's one of the best visuals I can think of, that people can actually come to where the people of God meet and get living water. We've invested thousands of dollars in Honduras, where there's children who have been victims of abuse and abandonment. And those, and some of you in here have gone to Honduras, and you've gotten your hands dirty, and you've built houses for those who don't have homes. And we're literally dipping our, maybe we have our foot in, maybe we're in up to the knee in this movement of God. This from a church of only 100 or so people. Those are just a few glimpses of our participation in this movement of God. What if we were completely sold out for the movement? What if instead of complaining about organization and being overworked, we dove feet first into the movement? Church, this isn't like Kroger Rewards. It's not free to sign up. It doesn't take a little time. It might cost you your life. It might cost you your life. It might demand a lot of your time. But that's what movements do. What if Dr. Martin Luther King said, "I have a dream today, but I don't have time"? What if Dr. Martin Luther King said, "I got a dream. We're about to change. We're about to enter into the social activity of changing this community, but I only have a little to give"? What if Urban Meyer, see, y'all don't get Martin Luther King, but y'all get football, right? What if Urban Meyer said, "I don't have time to coach the Buckeyes or invest the time and energy that's needed to build a championship team"? Huh? Can I get some amens there? Church, we are involved in the movement of God. Church, this is a movement. And before we can talk about declining numbers or how-tos or commitments, it's time we ask for commitment to the movement of God. It's time for us to stop talking about what needs to change in the world, and we need to become a part of the Jesus movement that is already changing the world. I suspect that one of the reasons millennials, as young people, are leaving the church, it's because churches have left the movement. Churches have left the movement. And instead, we have entered politics, disagreements over worship and theology. That is where we live. And that's where millennials, that's young people, y'all, are saying enough. They're still active. They're still active in fighting social, the social injustice that's going on in this world. They're still active in helping the poor. But churches have left the movement of God in order to serve the movements of self-interest and insulated issues. Church, it's time for us to stand up and declare that we are a part of the movement that goes outside of these walls and into the world. So what am I getting at? Before, we have a membership class. We got to define what movement we are a part of. We have to define what it is we're asking people to become a member of. We have to define and clearly explain mission. We need God's revelation so that we can translate it into a clear vision. And then we need commitment to that movement of God. And as simple as it might sound, we have to start with this truth. The truth that came at perhaps the conclusion of Peter's message on the day of Pentecost. We have to start with this truth. Jesus is Lord. That's too simple, Dion. No, it's not simple. That's revolutionary, brothers and sisters. Because if Jesus is Lord, what I want does not leap to the forefront of the movement. Jesus is Lord. It's what he wants. It's where he leads. It's what he says. It's what he defines. It's what he does. Not what I want, not what I like to do, but what Jesus, if he is Lord, my time becomes his time. If he is Lord, my heart longs for what Jesus longs for. Listen, ministry to the poor is not an option. It's not something, well, I'm just not into ministry to the poor. If that's not your thing, Jesus isn't your Lord. Jesus says, I have come, I've been anointed. This is Luke chapter 4. This is Bible, church. He opened the scripture to Isaiah, right, church? Am I right? If I'm saying something wrong, y'all get me. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, and he has anointed me to heal the lame and to give sight to the blind and to preach the good news to the poor. If Jesus is Lord, ministry to the poor is not an option, something we need to consider getting involved with. It's who we are. That's if he's Lord, church. If he ain't Lord, then do what you want to do. If he is Lord, my heart longs for the ministry of Jesus, because it is the mission of God. If Jesus is Lord, our belief is that God can do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. That's what Jesus believed. Do you know how many people Jesus started his movement with? 4. He called 4 fishermen, remember? Then he called 12. Do you know on the day of Pentecost, there were 12 apostles, probably a total of about 120 followers. Started with that small group and literally changed the world. Church, we have a habit of thinking that we're too small to have world impact. It's time for us to abandon that thinking. It's time for us to abandon that thinking. If we believe that God can do things immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, why don't we live that way? Y'all ain't hear me. If he is Lord, let's stop dipping our toe in the movement and completely embrace the movement. You see, I want to be a member of that. I think everyone here wants to participate in that. I want us to go into a membership class and talk about that. I want us, when someone says, how do you become a part or a member of this church? First thing I want to say is, are you ready to become a member of a movement? The movement of God. It's time for us to stop being afraid of the water. Just jump in. and let's do big things. Here is my commitment as a member of this body and as a preacher, as a minister. I'm going to stop asking you to do things that you know you already can do. I'm going to start asking us to do things that you'll look at me and say, there's no way we can do that. And I'm going to say, you're right. We can't. But God can. Because he's done it over and over and over again. Stop taking your Bible and throwing it in my face, talking about I believe all is Bible. But as soon as we challenge ourselves to do something bigger than ourselves, the first thing we say is, we can't. Did y'all hear Dr. Schenck last week during area-wide? Some of y'all weren't here. But during area-wide last week, he said, God is a God of the impossible. That is something that's been taking place since the very beginning. God does things that we think we can't do, that we believe we can't do. Abraham and Sarah said, we too old to have a kid. That ain't going to happen. And Sarah laughed her head off. No, with God, all things are possible. And if all things are possible with God, we can step outside of these four walls and we can change this world, period. Not because we have the ability, but because God can. And because we are caught up in the movement of God. I'm fired up, church. Can y'all tell? Can y'all tell y'all better pray for me when I'm on that ladder, because I might be painting and get a shake or something. I don't know. It's time for us to start believing the stuff that we sing about. It's time for us to believe the stuff that we read about. It's time for us to believe the stuff that we pray about. It's time for us to believe the stuff that we boast about. It's time for us to believe in the God that we serve. Let's take him out of the box. Let's stop defining him. Let's stop limiting him. Let's become world changers. Let's become a part of the movement of God. So my commitment is to stop asking you things. You know what? I already know y'all guys can fund work camp. I already know it. You've demonstrated that year after year after year. Start asking us to do things that's beyond our comprehension. And we'll get there. And we'll do it. Not because we can, but because God. Y'all don't believe me. Go to Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. We're in here. I'll get you out of here. Let's in here. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse number 20, ready? Now to him who is, this him is God. Y'all get that? Is that all right? Okay. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more. Do you know what immeasurable mean? That's right. In the Greek, it means you can't measure, okay? Now to him who was able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work, where? Where? What are we? What, she said, we're us. We're us. We're the church, right? To him be glory in the church. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Church, is it all right if we don't settle for less? Is it all right if we don't just settle to do little things, but feel empowered to do big and great things? Is that okay? Am I talking outside my mind right now? This is truth, church. This is the Bible that we believe in. This is the thing that we always fighting over, because there's so much truth in there. Well, if it's so much truth in there, let this be truth. That God is ready to break out a great work in this church. If we choose to be part of a movement. Before we talk about membership, let's talk about this movement. Is that all right, church? Hey, listen, I'm fired up. I hope I got you fired up. I'm about to stay with this for a while. About to let y'all know. Y'all going to hear movement a lot. Y'all going to hear mission of God a lot. Y'all going to hear big stuff a lot. Y'all going to hear stop settling, church. Y'all going to hear Jesus is Lord. You're going to hear it over and over. You don't get tired of it. Are you ready to be a part of this movement? Are you ready for God and Jesus and his church to be the passion of your life and your heart? Because when we do that, there are lives to be changed. There are lives to be changed. Let me end with this story, quick story. I remember Dr. Slaughter talking about this dentist that was involved in a mission that they have in Jamaica, where there's some doctors got together and they're doing this wonderful mission work in Jamaica. And this dentist is involved because this one doctor that was inspired by the vision of that church to change his world said, I'm going to do something about that. He didn't ask for church funds. He got some people together and they started this huge mission. They have doctors all over the world coming to Jamaica, making a difference in Jamaica, taking medical health and dental health to Jamaica, and they're changing lives and people are coming to Jesus Christ. And this dentist became a part of this movement, and he was going down and he's paying for some of his dental hygienists to go down there, and he's paying for the equipment to go down there to help people have a good dental health, and he's helping them out. And I remember Dr. Slaughter saying, I remember looking at my dentist in church one day taking communion, and he said, I've been trying for 25 years to get my dentist to come to church, and here my dentist is in church because someone else felt that they were part of the movement of God and did something special in Jamaica. And that led to this dentist becoming a member of the movement. How many of y'all believe God can do big things? How many believe this church can do big things because God can do big things? That's what it means to be a member of this church. And that's what we got to talk about. Is that all right, church? With that, let's pray. Father, we're done playing church. God, we're making a profession right now that Jesus Christ is Lord, that you can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And God, we seek to be a part of a movement, the movement of God. God, as you are renewing your creation, as you are redeeming mankind, and as you are reconciling men and women all over this planet through your love, God, I pray that we would understand that our way has to be your way, that our way has to be Jesus' way, that our time has to be Jesus' time, that our thoughts and our theology has to be Jesus' thoughts and theology. Father, we love you, and we thank you for activating this moment, that first moment when you said, let there be light. God, you've been activating movements since the dawn of creation. And we seek to be caught up in your movement. Thank you for being a big God, not a tiny, puny God, but a God that does not have limits, that has embodied this church, which means that the church has no limits. Father, this is our bold prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Empower us by your Holy Spirit right now. Activate us, energize us. Blessed name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Church, that's all I have. I got to go home and wash this shirt now because I got sweat stains in it, and I got to show up in front of teens. If there's anything that the church can do for you, pray over you, comfort you. If you want to make a profession that Jesus Christ is Lord this morning, if you want to be baptized into Jesus Christ, we will provide that ministry for you. We will make it happen. As we sing the song, I pray that you consider the words. Please understand, these are the words and the meditations from my heart. I just feel just embodied by God's Holy Spirit, and just feel so moved but by the message of God's greatness and our ability and our willingness to get caught up in the bigness and greatness of God. That's the movement I want to be a part of. And when we talk about church membership, it's not just becoming a part of a country club. Read the book, church. It is not just a country club. This is participation in a movement of God. Let's stand and let's sing the song, Select.